进退。Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. All right, so we got a great show. Hey, Frank, heads up. We don't have a quack report tonight. Yeah, I just didn't find anything worthy of the quacker today, so we won't be doing that. But we do have a great show. In the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about disclosure on your treatment risks. Those disclosure things may be a change in here soon. We're going to talk about that. In lieu of the quack report, you know what I found, Frank, that was really interesting was they discovered a document from the 1700s in the Vatican, right? And it was a typed copy of a letter that someone had found and converted into type, a letter from the people that were crucifying Jesus Christ. So, so it was an interesting thing. Pontius Pilate, letter, and he described Jesus, right before, during, and after the crucifixion. I mean, it was, an incredible thing. So, you can probably just Google that. He described Jesus to a T, and you know what? A lot of the depictions of Jesus were pretty accurate. So, and let's do the devotional here tonight before we get into the show. Here it is in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled all the law. That's right. So charity and love helps you fulfill your Ten Commandments and all the law, precepts, statutes, all that stuff. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to seek his face and mind time it grows short. So we're going to just jump into our segment here on our disclosure laws. Now, we've had these disclosure laws for like ever. Growing up, I knew it was real important. My family members talked about it, and you always wanted to get all the information on anything that had to do with your medical treatments. So disclosure laws are there for a reason. And, you know, I learned early in my career working in healthcare that patients are not 100% informed on many drug and surgery treatments. And medicine is kind of working on the prospects of deleting the requirements for informed consent. Now, if important information is not communicated by a physician to a patient, they have failed at the informed consent. Now, what I learned working in medicine is that many physicians feel that a low percentage of harm occurs from a therapy that they want to prescribe or a procedure, and it's really not worth mentioning. They don't want to bother their patient with that. And so in their mind, they would be putting doubt in the patient's mind or have them worry about something that most likely won't happen. So in reality, it is kind of a deceptive marketing practice, and it can put patients at risk. So there is also this attitude in medical science that justifies that some may be sacrificed in order to save the masses. So nothing really highlights this more clearly than the lack of disclosure from the use of the pandemic vaccines, what they called a vaccine. All right, so well, we can call it treatment, if you wanted to call it a treatment. Australia had this study back in September 2011, University of Melbourne. they published this research on over 70% of their medical legal disputes were regarding the lack of informed consent. So patients reported they were not provided with all the risks, from a complications that would include complications associated with the medication or surgical treatment. So the findings were published in the September 2011 issue of the Medical Journal of Australia. And you know, what's across the pond also happens here. So here's a quote from David Studert. He's professor of Melbourne School of Population Health and Melbourne Law School. He says, between 2002 and 2008, we received over 2,000 negligent claims against doctors insured by Advent Mutual Group Limited and complaints lodged with the Health Services Commissioner of Victoria. They go on to say, in 71% of these cases, the primary allegation was that the doctor, most often a surgeon, failed to mention or properly explain risks or complications. And this is the first study to investigate in a real-world setting what happens when informed consent goes poorly from the patient's perspective. End of quote. Yep. And let's see, Andrew Gogas, he's an MD, Department of Neurosurgery. I think he's in Colorado. He says this, in my experience, most doctors feel that they adequately discuss the risks of a procedure as part of their practice. Our findings show that our patients do not always share this view. They said a typical dispute over informed consent involves an operation and relates to the adequacy of explanations about risks of a particular or a particular complication. So this complication may be anything from the risk of infection, pain, scarring, paralysis, or even death. So what do you think, Frank? Do you think maybe, you know, to sell the patient on getting the treatment, they may downplay the risk? Sometimes, you know, I see that. I saw that almost like used car salesman's kind of tactic, you know. So patients, what'd you say, Frank? Frank says he just thinks they flat out lie. Well, I've seen that when I was working in healthcare. Totally. Okay, I'll give you an example. I was working for a neurosurgeon. And he saw so many patients, he barely remembered who they were. It was, you know, so many patients. They had this group that he worked in had a quota, and he had to keep up the quota, you know. So he had to have the entire chart copied, sent over for surgery, for the surgery bay, so he'd have this chart. And so, obviously, any studies like x-rays, MRIs, and stuff also went with it. So his surgical nurse had to take over this this information to the surgery bay anyway. So one afternoon, they both came in, and it was just such an uproar. And I asked her, what happened? And she says, well, somebody put the x-ray upside down on the light board, and a lumbar laminectomy became a cervical laminectomy. I said, that's not good. I said, what did you tell the patient? Well, she looked both ways and she said in a low voice, well, we told them that we saw something suspicious on the x-ray study, so we explored in that area just to make sure. I said, well, I said, but you know, that exploratory surgery cost OR time, the anesthesiologist time, the blood glasses, everything that you used just, you know, blew up that budget for surgery, and the patient's paying for that, and the insurance company's paying for that. So, yeah, they pretty much lied. You're Frank. You're spot on. I'm not saying they do it all the time. I'm just saying it happens. So a lot of patients are kind of uneasy these days. The skepticism patients, have regarding allopathic health treatments is kind of growing. I mean, I hear it all the time talking with people. And the quality of care seems to be rubbing patients the wrong way. So I think people are kind of wanting their health concerns resolved, not managed. Okay, people want a, what is called a real cure. So people really don't want to be on expensive drug therapies and have to deal with drug side effects. They just sick of it. They don't want to do it anymore. And I can understand that. And, you know, the older people get, medicine expects you to be on 4 to 7 medications, and then you've got these drug interaction issues, and you got more problems. Here's a quote from the International Medicine Review, December 2012. They said, studies have consistently shown 20 to 30% of medication prescriptions are never filled, and that approximately 50% of medications for chronic disease are not taken as prescribed, end of quote. Well, that should tell you something. Really should. So it really has become such a problem for modern medicine and your drug companies that the drug manufacturers have designed drugs with digestible chips in them to report to the physicians if the patients are actually taking their medications as directed. Now, if more patients are not adhering to their self-medicating protocols, interventions, according to medicine, must be implemented. So this is happening within the drug treatments for patients on, let's say, psychotic medications. So the patient will take their antipsychotic drug, and a signal is sent by Wi-Fi to the doctor that stomach acids are digesting the medicine. And this would indicate, you know, the patient took their drug therapy. However, these patients got wise. They got savvy. They got around the monitoring on that, and they gave the pill to pets instead. Yeah, pets. I mean, I wouldn't want to give pets psychotic drugs, but that's what they were doing. Now, the other problem medicine faces is that the cost of the drug therapy is so high that a lot of patients ration their pills, you know, taking maybe half doses. So that's another problem that they have. What'd you say, Frank? He says, I always say, trust the people who plan to be unconscious around. How well does anyone know their doctor and nurses? Well, check your, Sorry, Frank, I'm here. Can you hear me okay now? We got a technical problem? Are you okay? Oh, okay, you're back. Okay. So basically, we typically find, according to the Internal Medicine Review, that patients take only about half of their prescribed doses. That's what they said. And, Dr. Bruce Benner, Director of Center of the Health Promotion at the National Jewish Health at Denver, Colorado, says, non-adherence to drug therapy is a huge problem. He says there's really no one solution because there are so many different reasons why this is happening. And he's right, because people have different reasons why they may not be, you know, adhering to the drug therapy. So we're told that when patients don't take their medications, they put their health at risk. That's what they're told. It increased their hospitalizations and even the death rate into the billions of dollars, we're told. So when doctors ask patients why they did not take their medication as prescribed, they get a lot of different answers, such as, I'm not a pill person. Or something like, medications remind people that they're sick. Who wants to be sick? End of quote. Well, this is true. I mean, a lot of people have a perspective that they're relatively healthy, but they're maybe on 4 drugs. You take the drugs away and what happens? Metabolically, they may have a problem, right? Now, one physician, this is interesting. He recounted a patient once told him this. I will take vitamins because I know that's what keeps me healthy. So the doctor told this patient he was prescribing for her some vitamins to take before bed. What do you think of that, Frank? Well, I mean, a study from New York actually stated that patients tend to, like, resist taking prescribed medicines because they view them as unnatural chemicals. So an example they cited was instead of taking statin drugs, the patients may substitute fish oil. Here's what Lisa Rosenbaum, she's a medical doctor, she's a cardiologist at Brigham Women's Hospital in Boston. She said, there's a social push, a societal push, she says, to do things naturally, not sitting well with them, which, you know, medical physicians don't understand and really not happy with that. So there's this big problem with disclosure on drug therapies now to improve patient cooperation in their treatment plans. See? So they're justifying maybe non-disclosure so you'll take your meds. Here is a quote from Bruce Bender. He's a director, Center for the Health Promotion of National Jewish Health in Denver. He goes on to say, if patients hear others talking about side effects, it drives down the decision to take the drug therapy, end quote. Well, yeah, doc. I mean, side effects can be scary. Why do people want more problems on top of the one they already have? However, side effects is really a term that we are familiar with, but what it represents is in scientific terms, is a drug-induced disease. That's what a side effect is. So if it were not a disease, doctors could not prescribe another drug to deal with the symptoms of the so-called side effect. So this is also a reason physicians will either neglect to go over the common and the rare side effects and may say the likely side effects are going to be unlikely, you know. They leave it up to the patient to ask the specific question, such as, what are the side effects I may encounter? Now, that question is a good one, and it puts the physician in the hot seat for disclosure. So never accept a response that avoids the answer, such as, I'm not sure, but your pharmacist will provide you with a printout if there are any side effects known. Never accept that. You know why? Because every physician has what is called a physician's desk reference, or it's also called a PDR for short. And this will list the side effects, and it can go over those. They can go over those side effects with the patient right there in the office. It won't take but a minute. And the problem is patients don't want side effects, and this is the dilemma for modern medicine. They just, you know, even if it's, you know, going to give you diarrhea, they don't want to deal with that. You know, they don't want to deal with that. And the serious ones, they definitely don't want to deal with, you know, like cancer. The drug can give you cancer, leukemia, or whatever. So you want to make decisions, you want to make smart ones, and patients have to make educated decisions on their treatments, and they should have all the information to do that. So research treatments very carefully. You may have to go look for information without your physician, because if they're not going to cooperate with you and give you that information, you're going to find it yourself. You know, check and see if there are maybe even any safe alternatives while you're looking for the information. And the time that you spend doing that is really an investment in your health and well-being, and it can produce better outcomes for you. Now, if you would like to learn more about medicinal herbs for wellness, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and ask for their free product catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International number is 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Web address, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Now, during their Savvy Supplement Week, you can save 20% on orders of $65 or more, and it's going on right now. You want to use coupon code SAVVY24, but you want to hurry. The offer does end on the 29th of February, and restrictions apply. So, you know, be informed. Be savvy out there with all your treatments and even your supplements. We, Frank, are working on a blog for the website at thepowerherbs.com, and it's going to have lots of information helping, you know, people become more savvy consumers of their supplements as well. So there's going to be a lot of dialogue there, so people can check it out. And we'll let them know when it's live, but it's in the developer's hands at the moment, so we'll let them know. So we'll have information, because you know what? The Lord says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So you don't want to have that lack of knowledge, right? And if you like this information, you can go to our archives at thepowerherbs.com, click on Herb Talk, and the shows are listed there by date and topic. If you prefer to get it on social media, we are on Rumble. You want to look us up under the Empowering Apothecary, and you'll receive, I think, 30-minute segments of the show there. So thepowerherbs.com and Herb Talk, or you can go to Rumble and look us up on the Empowering Apothecary and be empowered, because that's what it's about. If you do like to receive this information directly in your email, well, then I would sign up for the free online newsletters at thepowerherbs.com. So just go to thepowerherbs.com, and click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up for the American Survival and the Health Quest newsletter there absolutely free. So the American Survival goes out on Tuesday and the Health Quest on Friday, so barring any holidays, of course, but definitely get empowered, and it's absolutely free. So you won't hear that information that you're going to get in these newsletters on these radio shows. You're not going to hear that on mainstream, because we try to speak the Lord's truth when we're here. So that's what we do each and every day. And I want to thank you for your feedback. A lot of people have been offering some feedback on the newsletters, the shows, the website, the products. We do offer some authentic testimonials, if you will, from products. So each product has a review tab, and you can see what people have said about each of the products. And if you have any information you want to share and with other people to encourage them on their health quest, then definitely let us know. You can send your testimonials or information and feedback to us at support2@thepowerherbs.com, and we will definitely be able to share that with others. Well, I can see by the clock we're going to be taking a break shortly here, but we're going to be first introducing, before we go, our next topic. And we're going to be talking about DNA repair. People think that they have to go to healthcare and have some sort of customized treatment from their blood made up, and it's got to be replicated in a lab and then put back into them. But you know what? There's some natural things out there that helps your body repair the DNA. Amazing stuff. And even stem cells. You want stem cells? Your body can make its own. Sometimes you have to give it the fuel it needs to do that, but there's some natural solutions for DNA repair and stem cells, and you don't have to see a white coat about it. And this is all research that medicine knows about, but as we know, the simple and less complicated and organic version of wellness does not make the industrial health complex any money. So this is why you're not going to hear about it, but we're going to tell you about it. Because it's empowering, and that's what you want to be. You want to be empowered out there. You want to be as well as you can be, and, you know, share the knowledge with others. So if you are on the newsletter list and you get a newsletter that has a topic that went, oh, that would, you know, be important for a friend or family member, you can certainly forward that on. All right, so we're going to be talking about DNA repair. What it really is cellular regeneration, And people are talking about this even in the beauty section, you know, where people selling all these beauty creams. And I don't know how many of these serums are being sold to the mature lady out there. But, you know, they've got chemicals in these products that produce wrinkles, not remove them. And this is why you get more wrinkles, you go buy more products. So that's the cycle. So you have to investigate even the ingredients in your topical cosmetic lines, definitely, because your body absorbs that stuff in like a sponge, and you can get problems with that. So definitely research your beauty products as well. And I can see by the clock we're going to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how we can regenerate in a very safe way. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
We'll be right back.
Joel Crank with our bouncy music. Keep us awake here. We are going to be talking about DNA repair, cellular regeneration. Helping our cells repair and replace is really an indicator of your overall health. So, for example, people with cancer have a very slow regeneration process rate compared to healthier people. People with cataracts, for instance, the lens is not regenerating with cells, and this is where what a cataract really is. So scientific studies have suggested it may be due to nutritional deficiencies, and cancer patients tend to be very low in their mineral content. And a big killer to your cell regeneration is, of course, stress. So people experiencing a lot of stress, post-traumatic stress disorders, which is really consistent with recurring pressure, those things age us faster, and we're more prone to disease. Now, a random study took tissue samples from people, and 7 to 10% of the group showed that they had DNA damage. So DNA damage is described as broken strands of DNA. So damaged DNA can lead to mutations, interfere with cellular communication, your hormones, your neurotransmitters, and so forth. So we're going to take a look at how we can help our DNA regenerate and avoid premature death and aging as much as we can, as much as possible. So drugs often can influence your DNA. So there's really no surprise there. Your chemotherapy drugs, radiation damage to the DNA, of course. But what about your prescription medications the masses take on a daily basis? Are there drugs that we take every day when we're sick that can put our DNA at risk? Well, the answer is yes. Now, the research organization, the FQ research organization found that there is a class of antibiotics that damage your DNA. It's called floclonals, for example, ciprofloxacin, and a bunch of auxin, or anything with a CIN at the end. Very bad. So any drug with CIN at the end of it, be very curious to research that carefully. And so how do these antibiotics damage your DNA? Well, they disrupt the instructions the DNA has to function with the cells. It damages the mitochondria of the cell. So the antibiotics can cause oxidative stress on the cell, a lot of inflammation, and even starve the cell of nutrition. So these antibiotics remove the magnesium from the cell, which it needs to do repair work. So antibiotics are prescribed frequently for things like sinus infections, urinary tract infections, bladder infections, and a host of ear infections. You know, the list goes on. So this could explain why Americans are magnesium deficient with repeated use of these types of drugs, and also your processed salt, which has no magnesium left in it. So salt is typically how our ancestors replaced electrolytes other than what they got from their food sources. So these drugs also remove the iron from the body, and often side effects become prominent with more of this depletion. So the disruptive results can put us at risk of some serious conditions. Here's some. Here's just a few: autoimmune diseases, vision problems, cataracts, blindness, peripheral neuropathy, numbness and the tingling in the extremities, as well as aortic aneurysms or deadly heart clots. So, you know, this is what I've found, Frank, over the years. It's a lot of these internal medicine issues, usually a mineral deficiency. So the drug therapies people are on, it just flushes the minerals right out of them. Yeah, they're really deficient. And a lot of internal medicine doctors have been, you know, that's the first thing they test for is minerals, and they find, you know, across the board 50% depleted. Here's a quote from the FQ Research Organization, December 2015. They said the data obtained in the study suggests that Cipro antibiotics induced DNA damage related to oxidative stress should be considered for further damage such as central nervous system causing toxicity. So I think they just put a black box warning on stuff now instead of taking it off the market. That's what I'm seeing. Other medications used for cardiovascular disease can also create these damages for cells, literally just kind of fall apart. So, yeah. So alcohol's on the list. So addictions can also damage our DNA. So the WHO classifies alcohol as a carcinogen. So the human body converts alcohol into what is called acetaldehyde, and it reacts with your DNA. According to Dr. Sylvia Beblow, the Cancer Center of the University of Minnesota, alcohol consumption made the top 10 list, which increases the risk of getting head and neck cancers, among other types. Long-term use of alcohol increases our risk because it damages the cell repair mechanisms. So Dr. Beblow says that alcoholics especially have bodies that hold onto these toxins because their body has difficulty purging them. And the American Cancer Society recommends abstaining from alcohol or using it in moderation. Men no more than 2 drinks per day. Women no more than 1 drink per day. Smoking hit the list as well, damaging the DNA. Our cells have to deal with 7,000 different chemicals that can be in tobacco smoke. Nearly 70 are classified as carcinogens. And 1 cigarette is enough to damage DNA because the chemicals physically attach to the base of the DNA cells, change their size, shape, physical property, and increase risk of cell mutation. Marijuana was also studied, and a report appeared in the 2009 Journal of Chemical Research and Toxicology. They said marijuana smoke does change cell DNA. According to Dr. Tsang of the University of Leicester, he said cannabis smoke contains 50% more pollutants compared to tobacco smoke. And when they made this comparison, they said this: smoking 3 or 4 cannabis cigarettes a day could cause the same amount of damage to your bronchial mucosa membranes as smoking a pack of regular cigarettes a day. This risk of mutation to the genes is significant, as marijuana users tend to inhale more deeply, increasing respiratory burden. Chronic smoking may overwhelm the capacity to repair DNA damage. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than pulmonary illness. Totally takes you out in a skinny minute, so, yeah. I say nothing goes in these lungs but oxygen. Air. I'm allergic. I'm so allergic to smoke. I don't care what it is. Pipe, cigar, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Vaping. I don't even like the vaping stuff. Ugh. All right. So let's talk about how we can heal. So there are lots of ways to provide our body with what we call healing energy. And all living things have energy and a light source to them. So the brighter the light source, the more energy the source has. So spectrometers are often used to determine how much of a light energy source in living things there is, like your plants, your animals, and even human beings. So here are some energy sources that can help us tap into to help our body regenerate. Let's look at the brain, because we don't always think of our brain to help our bodies regenerate. So the human brain has these electrical energy circuits as well as chemical energy to them. So the China study reported that positive thoughts help our cell DNA regenerate and repair, comparing cancer patients in one study who practice having positive thoughts. They were found to speed up their healing and recovery. This is just confirming what your Bible is saying. Having joy is good for your health. It's good, healthy for the bones, laughter, that kind of thing. Also, we have stem cells in the brain. Medicine just recently discovered that a couple of years ago. They thought, you know, you're born with all your brain cells, and once they're gone, uh-oh. No, your brain continues to make cells. And so stem cells can be helped, your body help regenerate stem cells. They found eating alfalfa helps you create stem cells. Alfalfa, same thing horses eat. Yeah, it's a grass, kind of green grass, alfalfa. And it smells like, you know, hay, kind of what you would feed horses and stuff. Right. This is from the China Institute of Intellectual Studies. They say following 3 months of practice, the cell repair rate had nearly doubled. This is when people were thinking positively. Nutrition, let's get to that. The type of nutrients that has a direct impact on your DNA and your ability to defend yourself from disease, your immune system, so on. A lot of nutrients are listed, but one nutrient in particular seems to be predominant in DNA repair, and that's vitamin B as in boy. Vitamin B as in boy. Other nutrients they also listed were zinc, iron, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin C and E, enzymes, and just your general antioxidants. So let's look at the antioxidants. This is a 2009 study. They looked at multivitamin use for antioxidant benefit and how it affects DNA and your longevity. Well, the research team discovered that there is this strong anti-inflammatory action that helps protect your DNA from damage using algae. So your blue-green algaes, your spirulina, and chlorella. So there is 14 times more antioxidant action in blue-green algae than in carrots or other beta-carotene foods. And this is more power than a vitamin E-rich food sources. So chlorella, for instance, contains a rich source of B as in boy vitamins, which is good for your central nervous system as well. You're a lot of beta-carotene, your chlorophyll, lutein, vitamin K, calcium, zinc, iron, iodine, and other nutrients. So if you have, I would say, issues with regenerative cells that are impacting vision, like a cataract, you may want to think about your blue-green algaes. And ginger was also on the list. This is according to Dr. Michael Greger. He says studies show ginger root reverses DNA damage. At least in their group, the test group had 10% DNA damage reversed using ginger root for just 7 days. And then the damage dropped even further as they continued to use it. So the study tested how DNA damage was repaired when you eat various herbs and spices. And apparently, herbs prevent oxidative stress on the cells, and it is estimated that by putting ginger root into your diet can reduce DNA damage by at least 25%. The same result appeared with rosemary herb and turmeric. And you can think of these foods as free radical eaters, you know. And many of these herbs and spices are not just antioxidant sources, but they also provide a lot of essential enzymes, offering more potency in protecting your cell DNA. So basically, if you're on a diet that needs adjusting, it's a wellness adjustment. Think of it that way, a wellness adjustment. So the Wellness Journal had recommendations for making your diet DNA damage-proof, or as damage-proof as possible. They state that certain food sources will feed your genes. However, in order to do that, every bite of what you eat must count. So no empty calories, no junk food. So in general, the diet should be organic, they said, fresh and consistent with whole foods, no processed foods at all. Include quality protein sources and use healthy oils like olive or coconut oil. They also recommended lots of spice and herbal seasonings and limit or avoid the starchy vegetables and fruits. So beverages should consist of water and herb teas. Complex carbohydrates were preferred over the simple ones, and also limit or remove your refined sugar and oils. They said healthy diets consist of nutrient density type foods. The more nutritious the food is, the less volume the body will need for fuel, and you'll feel satisfied, and you'll also shed unwanted pounds that you've been trying to get off. History also shows us that when society ate more organic fruits and vegetables for lean protein to provide vibrant health, and it also prevented disease as well as obesity. So there is a certain elegance or balance in the organic type diet of living. Body responds to it pretty quickly. It shows, you know, it shows in your physique, in your complexion, your countenance. It shows, you know, in your bones, in your teeth, in your mind, your cognitive abilities. You just can't get away from it. It just shows. You just see it. Usually within 2 weeks you start to see changes, and then usually by 4 to 6 months you see big changes. So healthy diets, healthy lifestyles, make sure your spiritual life is good and healthy too, and you'll avoid a lot of mental illness, because our scripture says if you're close to the Lord, you'll have a sound mind. Okay? You won't have to take medications for that. Gene mutations or damaged DNA increases your risk to depression, fatigue, being lethargic, and even having schizophrenia. So keep that in mind. So medicinal herbs are very powerful. They have lots of nutrition in them. That's why a lot of times they're bitter or they're hot tasting, because they got a lot of power. Medicinal herbs are really packed full of a balanced nutrition or balanced chemistry, and it has a lot of antioxidants to help you reduce your cellular stress and help cells regenerate. So if you are looking for medicinal ginger root, blue-green algaes, things like that, things that you could substitute antidepressants with, for instance, you might want to check out the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have quite a bit of things there that you may want to check out, and just ask for a free catalog and you can see for yourself. You can download the catalog or you can request a hard copy. Just go to thepowerherbs.com and you can put the catalog in your shopping cart and check out for free, and you'll get emailed a download link if you want to download it. Otherwise, a hard copy will go out to you free of charge and you'll be empowered. You will see quite a few items for immune support, metabolic support, toxin removal. You'll see some very unique products in there, pandemic kits, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, prostate kits, sleep apnea packs, just amazing things in there that will help, definitely help balance the system. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying they don't sleep well, they have sleep apnea, they're just kind of going crazy, and I'm like, well, and they're on thyroid meds. I'm like, and you're still having these problems. So a lot of times if you really do some research, you find out that, you know, there's an imbalance, and it may be from a lack of a mineral. And in the case of sleep apnea and even insomnia, it's usually an iodine depletion that the thyroid's not getting. That was research from Rutgers University. And so your thyroid will produce hormones for regulating sleep, your circadian sleep cycle, and also your breathing when you're sleeping. So there's that insomnia and sleep apnea issue. So may just have a thyroid out of balance. And the thing about thyroids is a lot of people go to their general doctor, or they may go to an endocrinologist, and they'll have their thyroid tested, and they'll say, oh, you got, you know, your T3, T4, whatever, you know, all these hormones are all out of whack, and we're going to have to put you on some drug therapy to straighten it out. Well, hormone therapy is very tricky. And here's the other thing that most people don't ask. Well, if we're going to take a supplement hormone, so then my thyroid's not making that hormone, will that create an atrophy of my thyroid gland? Well, there's a question for your doctor. And here's the other thing. There's 9 blood panels that should be run when you have your thyroid checked. And most doctors run 1 and then throw people on the drug therapy. If you want to know the full picture of what the thyroid's doing, you better run 9. How are you going to make an informed decision about what to prescribe if you don't know what all the thyroid's doing? Anyway, FYI, food for thought. And one of the things the thyroid has to have is natural iodine. Natural iodine's important, and what it does is it'll convert the iodine to iodide and make the hormones with it. And our food just does not have enough minerals in it anymore because of how they're growing things. So, yes, you can get iodine from your sun-dried ocean salt. That's your Celta salt, and it's not white, it's gray, it's not white. And you can get it from seaweed, and you can get it from black walnut. Now, black walnut's got the highest concentration of natural iodine, and we're not talking about the nut itself. It's the substance between the nut and the outer hull. It's this black substance. Now, in a dry growing season, that substance will be powdery, and in a wet season, it'll be kind of gooey like molasses. And that's the one, that's the substance you want. And, I mean, I had a senior herb professor when I was in herb school. He had gotten a call from a lady who he had helped her mother with some sort of illness, and she had a horse at the Pasadena horse racetrack. $1 million horses out there. And the horses were dropping like flies because they got some sort of parasite. And when horses get a parasite, it's a quick thing. You got to fix that super sweet or, yeah. So what happens if a horse gets a parasite? Guess what happens to him, Frank? Do you know what happens? You're out there in nature. You know, you got chickens and you got stuff. Do you know what happens to a horse when it gets a parasite? Does he know? Well, his hair falls out. All the hair falls out. You know, sort of like, you know, a featherless bird. It's weird to see a horse with nothing. This bear. Anyway, so the vets at the raceway were trying to get rid of these parasites with iodine injections, synthetic iodine injections. Not working. So the lady says, can you come help my horse? So he gets all us kids in herb class to go out. It was right at the right time. It was September. And we go out and we harvest these black walnuts that fallen off the tree, and we were getting all that black gooey stuff. And what he was doing, he was mixing it in with oats and putting it in the feed bags for the horses, and they would just eat it. They instinctively knew to eat it, and they were fine. The horses that got the black walnut were fine. And the vets were kind of dumbfounded by that. They were, well, we were using an iodine, but you were using a synthetic iodine, and it's not the same thing. Frank wants to know, does your drug therapy create a dependency, good or bad? It can. If you're on a metabolic type of medication, yes. After 6 months, the chemistry in your drug therapy there, your body's using that as a crutch. So again, your body's not functioning like it should. It's relying on the drug. This creates a dependency, and then when you suddenly come off of it, you're going to have pretty much a meltdown. You're going to have, you know, rebound effect. You're going to have withdrawal. And so that's the problem. Frank says, I know horse people used to feed horses carrots to kill parasites. No idea how carrots kill parasites. Well, parasites typically, for the most part, on average, there's different types of parasites. We have a parasite handout for people that want it. We can email it to them or snail mail it to them. And, parasites don't like iodine and they don't like sulfur. So, my beginning thinking is to use the black walnut and the garlic. You're a garlic man, Frank. You can relate. Now some parasites, you may have to eat like pumpkin, you know, get some canned pumpkin. They don't like that. Or salty fish. And here's the thing. If you're going to the medical establishment for help with parasites, there's two different tests, and you want, this is in our handout and tells you, but you want the test that's more sensitive to, not just the adult parasite, but also the larvae. So a lot of these tests will only pick up on the adult parasites and miss the larvae, and then you still got a parasite problem. So I just talked to a lady recently. She went over seas and was traveling, and she picked up parasites in her travels, and oh, she's just miserable. So and you know, when I was little, Frank, I was in elementary school. I can remember this. I must have been like six. Yeah, I must have been like six, seven, something like that. I remember my mom taking me to the doctor, and I got put on this purple pill. I had to swallow it. My mom said I had pinworms, and I picked it up probably in the bathroom at school. So you can pick them up off of toilet seats and stuff. So if anybody in your family has worms, they usually have to go on the same drug therapy as you, because you're probably transferred it to them. You know, you don't want to sleep with them. You know, because parasites can come out of the anus during the night and kind of crawl over to the new person. Yeah, not going to happen. The larvae can do that. So if you want the handout, it's just our parasite handout. That's all you got to ask for. And if you want it emailed, we can certainly send it to you. You can email us at support2@thepowerherbs.com. Or you can simply call and ask for it. If you don't have email, we can snail mail it to you. And, yeah, it's free. It's just a handout on that. So in the handout, you'll learn what tests to ask for at your doctor's office for the more sensitive one if you're going to go that route. Well, I'm out of time. Don't forget, the folks at Apothecary Herbs having a Savvy Supplement Week, and you'll save 20%. Details are online, or give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.
Hey, does civilization seem stable to you? When 911 is busy or law enforcement decides to hide rather than protect you, don't worry. With Spike Training, you will know exactly what to do. Through a series of approximately 96 hours of video training seminars, Bo Gright, American